Hello and welcome to Greek lesson number 2. This is the second week of our Greek study. And again, the online form, this version of the Greek study, is really ideally for students who are taking the class in person to have this as a means of review for them to look again at the detailed information as it's laid out in the forms, with me giving some instruction as we look through it. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to have a short lecture. We're going to work through our form, the lesson help, the printout, and then I'm going to do some reading, and we're going to set you loose. As we continue to progress on, we're going to have shorter and shorter lectures because there's really only so much I can do by way of reading verb paradigms and reading vocabulary for you. So a lot of this is going to be instruction details that are not going to be present in the text, so that's why listening in is maybe a good idea for review. But let's go ahead and let's jump right into our lesson today. So you should have the lesson. It should be linked in the website, and you should have it in front of you. It should say Lesson 2 on it. And I'm doing most of this in columns on the forms simply because it's a less wasteful way for you to use your paper. Once you start getting these paradigms, it can kind of take up a lot of paper. So we do columns simply to save you paper on your end. But we look here. Now today we're going to introduce the verb. Greek is normally taught in two big chunks. You learn the verb and you learn the noun. And within the verb, you learn all the different verb forms. Within the noun, you learn all the different noun forms, because the Greek verb and the Greek noun are different than the English verb and the English noun. The Greek language is different than English. English is an agglutinative language. Greek is a synthetic language. Basically, what that means is that in English, if we want to say something that's not just the most basic thing you can say. Like, if I say, I say, right? I say is a complete thought. It has a subject and a verb. Well, if I want to complicate that and demonstrate desire, I add a word. Like, I want to say. So, want becomes the helping verb. Say becomes an infinitive. To say, I want to say. Or, I am going to go to the store. I am going tells me that it's future. And then to go is the verb that has now been bumped into being an infinitive. And to the store, of course, is our location. Greek is not like that. What Greek does is Greek just changes the root form of the verb. So the root form of the verb in Greek, normally we learn the verb luo, it's I loose or destroy. And what we learn is we learn how changing the suffix, changing a prefix, changing what's called an infix, it's a letter in the middle of a word, how changing that will change what the verb actually does. Okay, so you don't add words typically, you don't add words to the sentence, you change the words that are already there. That's a synthetic language. That's what Greek is. So what you have to do with Greek is you have to learn how to conjugate the verb, how to conjugate the verb. Now, everybody begins in the same place, and that's good and smart and intelligent. And we begin with the verb in its present active indicative form, the present active indicative verb. Now, like I said, the Greek verb has a whole lot of different forms. There are all these different ways and shapes that you can put Greek verbs that will make them do different things in a sentence. As far as tense goes, you have the present, you have the future, you have the aorist, which is aorist is just simple past. You have the perfect, which is completed action in the past with continuing results. You have the pluperfect, which is completed action in the past with completed results. You have active and passive and middle forms of the verb. It tells you what the subject is doing. You have different moods. You have the indicative, the subjunctive, the imperative. Of course, then you also have infinitives and participles, but those are kind of like cousins to the nouns, so we're not going to worry about those right this second. But the point is, in English, you have to learn two forms of a verb. You have to learn the normal verb, that is, I, you, we, you plural, and they, and then you just have to add s to it, and it becomes the he, she, it form, the third person singular form. So I say, you say, we say, you say, they say, he, she, it says, or says if you're in England. Right? Greek, you have to learn different forms for every single word. And unlike English, where we can just add more words to the sentence to convey meaning, in Greek, you change the way the verb looks. So in Greek, let's say we just begin with our normal verb, right? So luo, the present active indicative. If we want to say luo, of course, means what? Do you remember? I loose or I destroy. Now, what if I want to say I will destroy? Well, you would make that a future active indicative, and it would be luso. What if you want to say I did destroy? Well, you would make that an aorist active indicative and say elusa. What if you want to say that it's perfect, that it was completed action in the past with continuing results? You would say leluca. What if you wanted to say that it was completed action in the past with completed results? Results are no longer affecting the world. You would say elelucane. Now, what if we wanted to command somebody? In English, if you command, you just say the second or third person form of it to make it imperative. You would say, go to the store. And that's a command. We use intonation to say that. Well, in Greek, you have a different form of the verb. And so if I want to tell you, one single person, that I want you to destroy something, I would just say, lue. Right? It's a different form because the second person present active indicative singular is lues. So if I want to say, you destroy, as a statement of fact, I say, lues. If I want to command you to destroy something, I would say, lue. Or lue, depending on how you want to pronounce that. So Greek changes the verb itself. You change the word, you don't add words. English adds words. French adds words. Right? So that's the difference in the language. So that's why it takes a long time to learn the verbs in Greek, is because you have to learn all these different forms of the word. Now in English, you have to learn what words to add to the sentence for it to make sense. So every language comes with its own challenges. One of the frustrations you'll come up with in Greek is that sometimes Greek doesn't follow its own rules. Sometimes its rules don't make a whole lot of sense. But that's just the way it is with languages. When you're studying languages, you run into problems like that. So let's look at the verb in its present active indicative form. Okay, now remember, I don't know if I mentioned this already, but the present active indicative tells us three things about the verb. It tells us that the action is going on currently. That's present. The present tells us that whatever is happening now. It is present. Now, active tells us that the subject is doing the doing. That there are three forms that the Greek verb can take. Active, passive, and middle. Active, passive, and middle. Now, the active tells you that the subject is doing the doing. The passive tells you that the subject is having the doing done to him or her or it. The middle, or reflexive, tells us that the subject is doing the doing to him or herself. So, for instance, if I say, I drive the car, well, I'm the subject. I'm the one doing the doing. Or if I say, I hit someone with a chair, I'm the one doing the doing. Now, if I say someone hits me with a chair, well, now someone else is the subject. I'm the object. But what if I say, I am hit by the chair? Well, now I'm the subject, but the action is being done to me. So if I say, I punch Brian, I'm the subject, Brian is the object. Brian punches me, Brian is the subject, I'm the object. Both of those are active statements. Now, if I say, I am punched by Brian, I'm the subject, but Brian is doing the action, and so Brian is still the object, well, he's the indirect object, but it's a passive statement because the subject is having the action done to the subject. Right? If we say, Brian is punched by Luke, Well, Brian is the subject, but the action is happening to him. And so, even though he's still the subject, the action is happening to him, so that statement is passive. You don't have to master this now, I just want you to be familiar. And reflexive is when the action is being done by the subject to the subject itself. Like I bathe, right? A lot of intransitive verbs are reflexive in Greek. So I bathe, I think. A lot of these take reflexive forms because thinking doesn't really take an object. It's something you do to yourself or among yourself. So that's present, tells us that it's happening now. Active tells us that the subject is doing the doing to someone or something else. And indicative tells us that the verb is just stating a fact. There are four moods in Greek. There is the indicative, the subjunctive, the imperative, and the optative. We are not going to learn the optative in this class because it doesn't really matter, and it doesn't matter in Koine Greek, and it certainly doesn't matter in Biblical Greek. There are only a handful of places where it's used. Really, we need to learn the three, the indicative, the subjunctive, and the imperative. The indicative is a statement of fact. The subjunctive is a statement of desire or conditionality or that something might happen. The imperative is a command. Now, Dr. Wallace and other scholars have said that it goes from the most certain to the least certain. So the indicative says something does or is or has happened or will happen. The subjunctive says something might happen. And the imperative and the optative say either I'm commanding something to happen or I'm wishing that it will happen. Again, we're not going to learn the optative in this class, but just so you know. Now, some people would say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. The imperative should be the most certain because you're making a command. Well, the example that's given by different grammarians is, if I say, my child brushes his teeth, or if you command your child to brush your teeth, which is the more certain of those things? Well, obviously, if you're making a statement that the child is actually brushing his teeth, then, of course, that's more certain than commanding your child to brush your teeth, as every parent knows. So, present, active, indicative. The verb is going on now. The subject is doing the doing to someone or something else. And the verb is simply stating the facts, just the facts. So, the present, active, indicative paradigm looks like this. Now, again, you should have your sheet in front of you. And we're looking at the verb luo. Luo. And luo means I loose or I destroy. I loose or I destroy. I say I loose or I destroy with luo. Notice that we don't say to loose or to destroy. If we were learning the verb lego, we wouldn't say to speak. If we're learning grapho, we're not going to say to write. Why? Because to say to destroy, you would say luane. To write is graphane. We don't learn the infinitive because it doesn't help us. Learning the infinitive doesn't help us. In Greek, we always learn the first person singular of whatever form we're learning, whether it's the present active indicative, the aorist middle indicative, the aorist passive subjunctive, the imperative present middle. It doesn't matter. Whatever form we're learning, we begin... with the first person singular, with the exception of the imperative, because there is no first person in the imperative. But you get the point. So, looking at it, I'm going to read these aloud, and then you will have the opportunity to either pause it and repeat after me, or to just go ahead and skip through this part. But, luo, luês, luê, luamen, luete, luusi. Now, you notice at the end, there is that parentheses and what looks like a V. Remember, that's a new. It's not a V. It's a new. It's an N. Okay, and that's in parentheses. And that's because it's a movable new. We do the same thing in English with the word a or an, right? If it's a followed by a word that begins with a vowel, we say an. Greek does the same thing with some of its verbs. It's called a movable new, right? So let's say these words again. Luo, luês, luê. Luamen, luete, luusi. Luo, luês, luê, luamen, luete, luusi. Luo, luês, luê, luamen, luete, luusi. Luo, luês, luê, luamen, luete, luusi. Okay? You want to work on these. You want to just keep saying this over and 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 over. You want to just keep saying it until you get it drilled into your brain. And now some people, I am one of these people, some people just remember the suffixes. So when I was memorizing, when I was learning Greek, I just knew OSA OMINETAUSI. OSA OMINETAUSI. Okay? So you can do that if you want. Some people prefer to learn it with the stem of the verb. You can do it however you want, but just remember, you want to be able to rattle this off without even thinking. If I say present active indicative, you should just always say OMINETAUSI or luo lues lue luon lueta lusi. Okay, you should just be able to do it. Now, again, in the handout you have, you see this. I've highlighted the suffix. Remember, Greek is going to change. You're going to change the meaning of the word and the function of the verb in the sentence based upon the suffix. O-A-S-A, amen ete usi, or omen ete usi, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Okay, all regular verbs in the present active indicative will have these suffixes. All regular verbs in the present active indicative will have these suffixes. Greek, like almost every other language, with the verb to be, is not a regular verb. There are a handful of irregular verbs in Greek, and we'll deal with those as individual verbs. But the most important one is the verb to be. But almost, compared to most languages, Greek is very regular. So if you learn this chart, you're gonna learn very well. You're going to learn the language, okay? So I show you the example here in the handout where we look at the verb lego, to say or to speak. Oh, wait, what did I say? To say, to speak? No, Luke, it's I say or I speak. I say or I speak. Now, I said to say, to speak. It's going to be hard not to do this because when you learn your vocabulary, your vocab, you're only going to learn your vocab in the first person present active indicative, first person singular present active indicative, right? So if you go and buy vocab cards from Mounces or Gatchel or Croy, whomever you buy your vocab cards from, or if you write your own vocab cards, you're only going to write the verb in one form, okay? So in Hebrew, you don't write the infinitive form to memorize the verb, because that wouldn't really work in Hebrew. But what you write is, you write the cal perfect third person masculine singular, okay? In Greek, when you learn the verb, you write the first person singular present active indicative, okay? But when we're learning our paronyms, we learn all of them, right? So if we want to learn the future active indicative, we learn luso, luses, luse, lusamen, lusete, lususi. Okay, so it's important to understand the difference. If you're looking at vocab, it's probably okay to just remember lego means to say or to speak, because you've got all these other forms of the verb, and you know that lego is just the way that we remember that it's the verb for saying and speaking, right? So you can do it however you want. I think it's a good habit. It's a bad habit I have to turn it into the infinitive. I will admit it's a bad habit of mine. It's better to remember it as I say or I speak. But if you fall into the habit of saying to say, to speak, it's not like the Greek police are going to come and you know, arrest you and, you know, have you re-educated. Okay? It's okay to do that. But it's more accurate to say I, and it probably will help you in the long run. But again, it's a small thing. Vocabulary. The key to learning any language is vocabulary acquisition. If you want to read the Bible, if you want to learn the scriptures, you've got to gain vocab. The Greek language, the Greek New Testament has something on the order, I think, of like 6,000 or 7,000 words, 6,000 or 7,000 individual words, which is actually about what's considered the basics for having some level of fluency in a language. You know, you've got to have a working vocabulary of about 6,000 words to be considered competent in a language. However, in Greek, you can get away with knowing very few words and have pretty solid competence in the Greek New Testament, especially the Gospel of John. In fact, if you learn the first 500 most common words in the Greek New Testament, you will have a solid mastery of most of the words in the Greek Bible. You will have a mastery of a lot of them. If you learn all of the words that are used 20 times or more in the Greek New Testament, you will be solid. You will be solid. Of those words, of the, you know, about 6,000 to 7,000, I think, the first 1,000 are all used 10 times or more. So that means that below the first 1,000, like from 2,000 to 7,000, that those, you know, well 1,001 to 7,000, so like those 6,000-ish words are all used 10 times or fewer. And the most common 1,000 words make up the vast majority of the words in the Greek New Testament. So what we're looking for is we're learning acquisition. We want to learn vocabulary. All right, we want to learn vocab. So let's look at some verbs. We're going to look at some verbs, some nouns, and some special words. Special, special, special words. So the verbs we want to learn today. Akouo, I hear. Akouo, I hear. Blepo, I see. Blepo, I see. Gnosko, I know. Gnosko, I know. Grapho, I write. Grapho, I write. Thello, I wish, will, or desire. Thello, I wish, will, or desire. Lego, I say or speak. Lego, I say or speak. Luo, I loose or destroy. Luo, I loose or destroy. Pistuo, I believe. Pistuo, I believe. Nouns. Hotheos, the god. Hotheos, the god. Hoyesus, the Jesus. Hoyesus, the Jesus. Huadalfos, the brother. Haadalfas, the brother. Headalfe, the sister. Headalfe, the sister. And the special words. Kai, and. Kai, and. Remember last week when we were doing the alphabet? Remember how we did it to the tune of Alouette? You know, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, chi, psi, chi, omega. So I know that listening to me sing isn't exactly the highlight of your day, but the chi is there, right? The chi means and. Chi is and. Chi is and. It's an important word. You learn chi and you've learned a big chunk of the Greek New Testament. I'm not kidding. Hoti or hati. That or because. Hati, that or because. U, uk, uch, not. U, uk, uch, not. Now, a little special note, and it is in your handout, but a special note is that when we learn nouns, we always learn them with their articles. You always learn them with their articles. Why? Because Greek is a language that has gender. It has gender. It has masculine, feminine, and neuter. And if you learn the gender, you're going to be much better off in the long run. It's going to be much easier on your vocab. It's going to be easier on your reading. It's going to be easier on your study of the language. It's just going to make things better. So learn the article. Learn the gender. Learn whether it's masculine, feminine, or singular. Okay? Learn that. Now, also of note concerning the article means the. So ho or ha means the. Hey or hey means the, right? But if we get rid of that, we can say a or an. For instance, we can say hotheos or hotheos is the god. Theos by itself, without the article, without the ha, can mean a god, or it can mean god as a proper noun. There's no definite rule on this. You have to use your own judgment. You have to use your own wisdom. Greek is a weird language, but it's similar to English. English does this too sometimes. So on the following pages, we have some exercises. I will read through these with you, and then I'll read through our Greek text for today. And hopefully, just hearing me read this will help you gain some fluency in the language. But you're the one that's going to have to do the translating And you're the one that's going to have to do the composition. You're going to have to do the composition. So, let's translate. So, hotheos akue. Hotheos akue. Jesus kai hotheos akousi. Jesus kai hotheos akousi. He adelphe ou thele. Ha adelphe ou thele. Amen, amen, lego. Now, you don't know the word amen, or at least you don't think you know the word amen. Amen means amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen, lego. Pistuomen. Pistuomen. Adelphos graphe. Hoti theos blepe. Adelphos graphe hoti theos blepe. Adelphe pistue hoti Jesus lege. Adelphe pistue hoti Jesus lege. U luete. U luete. Graphe hoti ho adelphos thele. Grafo hoti ho adelphos thele. And now I want you to compose the following sentences that come after this. Just note the one over on the right-hand side, a sister wishes because the brother doesn't write. I couldn't really squeeze that all into one line, and that's hopefully not too confusing. Hopefully you can understand what's going on there. Verb paradigms, these are for you to fill out. You can do these on your own. I just give you the paradigm to look at, and you can, of course, make these on your own, and you can fill these out on your own. So let's do some reading for practice right now. And what the purpose of reading for practice is not necessarily for you to be able to translate at this point. That's not really the goal. The goal is for you to just hear the language, for you to hear it, for you to read it, for you to gain some kind of understanding of it. And hopefully, as time goes on, you'll start to see things that you do recognize. You'll start to recognize things in the reading. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll continue reading through the Gospel of John, and you'll jump on it and you'll say, I know that word. I know that word. I can read that one. And that's an exciting thing. Sometimes you'll get a whole sentence and you'll say, I can read that sentence. I actually gave you some Bible in your translation exercise today. So be encouraged. I give you this reading exercise, one, so you can hear the language, so you can hear it and read it, so you can gain some recognition, so you can gain some confidence, and also for you to read this on your own. Don't be scared if you make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. I make mistakes all the time. You will make mistakes too. It's okay. It's okay. There are no Greek police. You're not taking this for college credit. Nobody's going to give you an F. Enjoy this. This should be a fun thing. You get to learn. You get to learn the Bible in its original language. That's an awesome thing. Don't make this into work. Allow this to be a joy for your life. Enjoy doing this. I'm enjoying this. So let's read together. Okay, let's read together. Now, in case you're not super sure, because I've taken a lot of the notes out of this, we're in the Gospel of John. We've been reading the Gospel of John, and we are now beginning in verse 19 of chapter 1, and we're going to read all the way through to verse 34, verses 19 through 34. Last week, we read chapter 1 of John, John 1, 1 through 18. This week, we're going to read John 1, verses 19 through 34. John 1, verses 19 through 34. Let's begin. Caiote estin he marturia tu Ioannu hote apostelem pros auton ho Iudaioi ex Jerusalemon hieres kai luitas hina erotososin auton. Sutisse, kai homologesen, kai uc ernasato, kai homologesen hoti ego uc emi ho Christos. Kai erotes anoton. Tiu, su eliase, kai lege ukemi, ho profetes esu, kai apekrithe u, epan un auto, tise,
Hin apokrisen domen tois pempsasin hemas. Tilege sperise autu. Efe. Ego fone bontos en te eremo. Euthanete ton odon curio. Kathos epen Esaias o prophetes. Kai epastalmenoi hesan ek ton pharasaion. Kai ertosan auton kai epano tu. Tiun baptizes esu uk eho Christos ude Elias ude ho prophetes. Apokrithe autois ho Ioannos legon. Ego baptizo en hudati, mesos humon esteken on humes uc uidate. Ho piso mu erchomonos, uc emi ego axios hina luso autu tu himanta tu hupodematos. Tauta en Bethania egenet operan tu Iordanu, hupo en ho Ioannes baptizon. Te paurion blepeton Iesun erchomenon pros auton kai lege, ide ho amnos tu Theo, ho aeron ton hamartian tu chosmo. Hutos estin huper, hu ego epon, ho piso mu erchetai aner, hos emprosten mu gegonen, ho ti protos mu ein. Cago, uc edeno ton, Alchina fanorotheto Israel dia tuto elthen ego en hudati baptizon. Kai emarturesen Ioannes legon hoti tethiamai to pnuma katabainon hos peristeran ex uranu. Kai emenen epauton cago uc eden auton. Al ho pempsas me baptizen in hudati ekenos moi epen efon an ides top numa katabainan kamenon ep auton hutos estin ho baptizon en pnuma tihagio. Cago eoraca, kai me martureca hoti hutos estin ho huios tu Theo.
These are the words of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. Now, I am not asking you to try to read with all of the emotion and fervor that I've been reading, but I've been trying to inject some of the emotion into the words because I want us to get into a habit of reading like that. When we read, especially if once we get to the ability that we can read and translate simultaneously, and that's not an easy thing to do. It's hard to vocalize and translate at the same time. But when we get there, because we will get there, when we get there, you're going to be able to read with emotion, and you're going to be able to read and say what it really is. Not to just read it blankly, not to just read it flatly, but to read it and to have emotion and authority with it. That's our goal. We don't just want to be able to read it. We don't just want to be able to understand it. We want it to affect our lives. We want to feel the emotion. We want to feel what's really there. And so I hope this was helpful. Like I said, a lot of the lessons in the future are actually going to be even shorter than this one. So I hope you found it helpful. I hope you've enjoyed it. Like I said, my reading out loud isn't always good. So if you play this back and you read it and you're like, oh my gosh, Luke made all these mistakes. Sure I did. I'm not a great Greek speaker. But I wanted you to get some feel for the language and some hearing. So when I read it and I make mistakes, please be generous with me. I'm not a great Greek reader, but I try. So I am looking forward to week 3. And I hope you're excited about week 3 too. And I can't wait for us to continue studying Greek. Have fun.